Hello, and welcome to the BCMA podcast. I'm Ben Fast, and today I'll be joined by the BCMA's own executive director, Erica Mattson, to recap some of the big museum conferences that took place in BC in April. We'll talk about our experiences as attendees at the Canadian Museums Association Conference and the Museums on the Web Conference, as well as talking about some of the key things we learned that we want to share with the BC Museums community. You'll also hear some other voices from my time at Museums on the Web later in the show, so stay tuned for that. So, welcome, Erica, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks very much, Ben.
Now, you attended the CMA conference, which was held in Vancouver from April 9th to 12th. So tell me a little bit about that conference and why you attended.
Yeah, well, it's a great conference. It happens every year, and we're very fortunate to be having it in BC this year. So it's extra easy to attend and not have to worry about all those things about flying across the country. And so for the BC Museums Association, of course, we want to be there to interact with our colleagues. There's a really great day during the conference every year where all the provincial and territorial museum associations get together in a room for one whole day with the CMA and just talk about what's happening in the sector across the country, ways that we're working to support our members and increase funding to the sector, increase education and learning opportunities, and how we can collaborate. And the discussion this year was really positive, and we were really fortunate, I think, to have representatives from Canadian Heritage in the room for the full day. And that was really, I think, really impactful for us to hear from them about what their priorities are and for them to hear from the sector associations about what their priorities are. Also a really just a great chance for me personally to connect with our members. There were lots of people there. We had great conversations with the folks from Two Rivers Gallery, with the Vancouver Art Gallery, with the Gulf of Georgia Cannery. So lots of great interactions there.
And was this your first time going?
It was my first time going.
So what did you think as a first-time conference attendee? Was it fun? Was it interesting? Was it scary? What was it like?
It wasn't scary.
No.
No, it was lots of fun. I think I find the hardest thing about conferences is like stopping talking in those like networking and coffee situations where you just have all these fantastic conversations with people. And, you know, one of the things I had a really great... great conversation with the Britannia Mine Museum. So one of the things that Kristen Klassen suggested, we were talking about how we've started doing webinars and podcasts at the BCMA, and she was talking about how useful that had been to her team. And she had a really great suggestion that I'll put out there to everyone, which was just to use those webinars or podcasts as an opportunity to gather your team together, your volunteers, your staff, and listen to that stuff together and have a conversation about how it applies to your museum and you know, understand better what your colleagues are doing across the province, all the amazing things that people are doing. So I thought just conversations like that where BCMA is working hard to get some good resources out into the community. And she had a really great suggestion about, you know, ways we can encourage people to use those resources in a practical way and find the time to get those education opportunities into your everyday.
So obviously you had a great time networking with people and lots of great conversations. But did you also get to go to some of the sessions and hear some of the speakers?
Yes, I definitely did. That is the purpose of going to a conference. So one session, a couple of things really stood out to me. There's one session by a woman named Colleen Dillon Schneider. I think that's the correct pronunciation of her name. She does some really interesting work in terms of gathering data insights about museums and cultural institutions across the country and in the U.S. as well. So really impactful presentation. I think the two key takeaways from her presentation, one was just the power of collecting data about your visitors, about their experience, and using that to shape your activities. But the other thing that she talked about a lot, which I thought was a really practical thing that would be, you know, relatively straightforward to implement in any museum, was just the impact of what she called personal facilitated experiences. And what she found in her research was that people at museums were really appreciating those times when, you know, maybe you've got a docent that checks in and sees how you're doing while you're looking at an exhibit display, or you've got somebody who's there, you know, kind of helping out if there's a family and letting them know about something they might be interested in. And so just that kind of human touch, so that that grease to the wheel of helping people have a positive experience in your museum. She had some really great stats about how those really simple things that are just basically, you know, good customer service and being friendly to people while they're in your space have a dramatic increase in terms of the revenue that you're able to bring in and the experience that people have. Just to pay attention to those opportunities to create really positive, simple experiences for people while they're on the floor of the museum, and that can really drive revenues. Another session that I really appreciated was the keynote talk by Rick Hansen. So obviously a Canadian icon who has such a compelling story, and he shared his personal story, which I think was really, really moving to everyone in the room. There was a Canadian museum who was awarded their gold certification. So it was really interesting to learn about the program that they have. Basically, what they do is go out and kind of do in a lead style rankings of buildings in various communities across the country. And what you can do if you're a museum, get the Rick Hansen Foundation to come in, do an assessment of your space. And then once they've given you that assessment, you have an opportunity to apply for BC Accessibility Grants, which are grants of up to $20,000 to create accessibility improvements to your space based on the recommendations that the Rick Hansen Foundation has. That's important not only for people who with disabilities, but also in terms of the shifting demographics of our society. They had, I believe what the statistic that they had was 1 in 5 people by 2025 will have some form of disability, and some of those will be disabilities that people have had their whole lives, but some of them will be age-related disabilities. And so I think that, you know, just that program that they've got set up, it's totally free to access these accessibility audits for a period of time and to apply for these grants once you've gone through that process. So I'd really encourage museums across the province to look into that program.
And this was like, I think the first time that they had awarded this to a museum or something along those lines?
Yeah, exactly. The opportunities for museums are huge. It's not just physical disabilities. I mean, that's really important, obviously, in creating accessible spaces. And I think we've all experienced, for myself, I've got 2 young kids. So I always really appreciate those physical accessibility elements, like ramps, pushing around a stroller. So there's benefits to everyone for those things. But also thinking about people with visual impairments, people with auditory impairments, maybe people with sensory processing challenges who might want to be participating in your museum at a time when it's a little bit quieter. There's lots of opportunities there, so I think a really good chance to innovate and to make your space more welcoming to a wider range of people.
Right, it's not all just wheelchairs and ramps. It's the whole spectrum of
absolutely
things.
Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really great. The CMA had a theme this year, which I believe was "No Museum is an Island." Of course, we are, at least you and I are on an island with our with our offices, but we have many museums very close by. But how did you think BC museums matched up with that theme of "No Museum is an Island," sort of focusing on collaboration and all that sort of thing?
Well, I think BC museums do an amazing job of collaboration, and at the conference it was so inspiring to hear all the different stories of collaboration. There was one session on the GLAM sector. So that's galleries, libraries, archives, and museums. And really compelling session about kind of what's happening at the national level to help all these organizations work in partnership together and drive a common agenda. And one of the things that one of the speakers for that session said, that's Maureen Sawa from the Greater Victoria Public Library. Her message, takeaway message was, you know, it's time to stop doing more with less. I think we always see museums in British Columbia, squeezing that funding to the last drop and getting, you know, working so hard to engage their communities and their volunteers to deliver vital services to British Columbians and to their communities. Maureen had a great point, which is kind of, you know, for me is just a mantra in my head after the conference, is let's try to do more with more. And so that theme around "No Museum is an Island," it's all about collaboration and partnerships to me. It's how do we work together to do more with more? We know that there's always going to be challenges with resources. There's always going to be challenges with the different limitations that we all face in our work. But instead of focusing on those limitations, let's focus on how we can expand our networks and work together.
So that's really your key takeaway for moving forward is we need to expand. We need to work together. That's really the way of the future. Absolutely. Or the way of now in a way.
Yeah, it is the way of now. Yeah. Let's do more with more. Let's stop trying to do more with less.
So were there any other big highlights or sort of things that stood out for you?
We had a chance to interact with, as I mentioned earlier, colleagues from Canadian Heritage, and it was really great to see them at the conference. They had a booth set up. They were talking about all the different programs and supports that they have to offer. I really felt that they had a strong presence at the conference, and it was, for me personally, it was great to connect with them. You know, some of them are in Vancouver, some of them are in Ottawa. Great to connect in person. We've been collaborating, for example, on the reorg workshops that happened earlier this year, that kind of storage organization and how important that is for museums. And just in terms of thanking our funders, BC Museums Association has just received news that we have received a MAP grant, a Museums Assistance Program grant from Canadian Heritage. We're going to focus that grant on creating new resources to benefit small museums across the province. So just to have that opportunity to say thank you to the staff at Canadian Heritage for kind of believing in the vision that we put forward in our grant application, that was really great as well. We're always wanting to welcome more museums into the BC Museums community and into the BCMA community. And so one institution that I really admire and think is doing some really interesting work is the Rennie Collection in Vancouver. So they're in Vancouver's Chinatown in the downtown east side and home to a really fabulous private collection of works that Bob Rennie, a collector, who has built over a period of time. And they open their doors to the public, and I just feel like it's a really interesting institution in terms of bridging those gaps between a private museum and interfacing with the public. And so I had a really nice chance to connect with them. They had a fantastic piece on, which was Yoko Ono's Mend piece. You just came away feeling really centered and whole, and also having that chance again to connect with more museum colleagues across the province and just see the breadth and depth of everything that's going on.
And a good conference break too.
And you know, great conference break.
No longer sitting in your sessions and everything like that.
Yeah,
you can still go out and
exactly.
do stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Hey there, podcast listeners. Ben Fast here again. Are you feeling inspired by all this talk about conference? Then join us in Kelowna, October 21st to 23rd, 2018, for the 61st annual BCMA conference. This year's theme is Innovation and Technology, Keeping Pace with Acceleration. Join us for a presentation, a workshop, an Ask the Expert plenary session, or new this year, a 5-minute lightning talk, and share your experience of working in BC museums. Our conference is open to all people working in the cultural sector, museums, galleries, libraries, archives, anywhere in between. See you in Kelowna! So seemingly just a few days later, I headed over to Vancouver for Museums in the Web 2018. Same location, sometimes even some of the same attendees, which was really cool. And if you haven't heard about Museums in the Web, they're an international museum conference that takes place annually in North America and sometimes in Asia. And they've been doing so since 1997, so it's the 21st conference. The conference's focus is on advanced research and exemplary applications of digital practice for cultural, natural, and scientific heritage. This was the second time MW was hosted in Vancouver, so we welcomed back some of the people to BC, but it was my first time attending, so sort of like you with CMA, it was my first time at this one. Really interesting to be able to go. I really enjoyed it, not just because I could nerd out on some of the museum technology things that I love to learn about, but because the conference featured a lot of local content and some key takeaways that I think really could impact the BC museum community. So MW took place during National Volunteer Week, and there were a dozen or so Vancouver or Victoria-based volunteers at the conference. And I sat down with two of them to talk about their experience of the conference and hear why they wanted to attend.
My name is Chris O'Connor, and I work at the Royal BC Museum in Victoria, BC.
I'm Derek Tan. I'm at the BD Biodiversity Museum at the University of British Columbia.
I am a program developer at the Royal BC Museum, so I do a lot of programming in the galleries, but with a real eye to how those programs are influenced by digital learning strategies and transmedia approaches.
I've been to museums on the web before, and I found that all the sessions are extremely relevant to what I do. And in terms of keeping up with current technologies and emerging technologies, it's been incredibly valuable to listen to experts in their fields to figure out what's going on and what the next big thing is going to be. The standout moment from this conference has probably been the shared sense of community with other people who are working in the field. Someone will put up a very geeky slide and everyone will laugh because they know exactly what's going on and have felt that the same feelings of working with technology, working in museums. So knowing that other people are facing the same problems that you are, in my institution, I'm the only person who deals with digital exclusively. So having other people who have the same problems, the same challenges, and have come up with innovative solutions has been very valuable to share and to experience together.
The standout for me is how integrated human design approach is throughout the whole conference. It just seems like it's an important element to all the work that's being done here, and that users and visitors are the focus and the real driver and beginning point for all that we do. I've been heartened to see that that's really been taken up from multiple perspectives within the museum field. It's not surprising in that most people feel that. It's surprising in that it feels like everyone's on board, and that it's articulated not just through a design perspective or a learning perspective, but through across the board.
I think the scale of museums on looking at the whole world is much larger than British Columbia. So we can look at people who have budgets, which very few museums locally do, and learn from the examples that they provide and the lessons that they've learned, which are scalable. So it's being able to look at a global classroom, really, of people's experiences and to take what we can from that and apply it locally in BC.
And I also asked them what they were going to take away from this conference and what they learned there back to their museums.
I'm going to improve our exhibition website. The motto that's come up a lot is to use a design-based process to iterate different versions and test and constantly improve. And it's something which you can know it, but to actually practice it is much more difficult. So I'm going to go do some changes, do some improvements as soon as I get back.
I had time to think about this too, and I... So I'm looking forward to applying the insights and of this conference when I get back to my museum, thinking about how my department and learning can work and coexist with other departments. Some of my colleagues are here as well, so for us to further some of the thinking and insights that have come out of the conference together, to push that forward together in order to have a greater application across the museum, museum-wide, and find ways to be smarter and more thoughtful in our practice.
So as I said, there was a lot of local content in this year's conference, and it all started the day before the conference. I got to lead one of the three pre-conference tours around Vancouver, bringing a group of 22 people through some of the cultural institutions around False Creek. A special thanks to Science World, the Vancouver Maritime Museum, and the Museum of Vancouver for hosting and touring around these international colleagues. Now, while the digital element was definitely the focus, I mean, that's the theme of the conference, it was great to see interest in collections too, especially the sort of Pacific Northwest or West Coast Canadian collections. One of the big highlights at Museum of Vancouver, for example, was visiting the collections area and getting a close-up view of a Chilkat blanket that they put out on display, and hearing the team talk about how they had conserved it and worked in technology to find out the makeup of the blanket, you know, where the materials had come from, what that signified for their collection. It was really interesting, and I think a lot of the people from outside Canada especially really appreciated learning about that local culture and how museums are working to preserve that and understand that better. There was also a tour of the UBC museums and a mural tour through North Vancouver. So quite a few people ended up getting sort of a cultural view of Vancouver while they were here for the conference. And about 10 sessions featured local papers or presenters. And there was also a really innovative exhibit area called MWX. Sort of a thing that runs through the conference, bit of a museum exhibit, bit of an art display, bit of a sort of theoretical practice example area, almost like an ongoing pop-up exhibit or pop-up museum that went through the whole thing. Now, I chatted with Hannah Turner about her role in the project and how it ties into museum practice here in BC. So take a listen to this.
My name is Hannah Turner, and I'm here because I'm a postdoctoral fellow at the School for Interactive Art and Technology at Simon Fraser University. So I work in a lab called the Making Culture Lab there with Dr. Kate Hennessy. And we're here, I ran a course in the spring with the Center for Digital Media called Museums and Art Galleries in a Digital Age. And for our final student projects, they made student videos that we've been exhibiting here as part of the Museums in the Web exhibition series curated by Kate Hennessy and Vince Zekin. So partly we've been showing the student videos. They worked on five interview videos with local institutions. So there's NGX Interactive, an interview with Indigitization at the Museum of Anthropology, with New Media Gallery in New Westminster, and with the Vancouver Public Library. And we've been doing some really interesting contemporary interviews. So essentially, we've grabbed people at this conference and asked them to participate in this live interview session. So just today, on Friday, we've grabbed, I think, almost over 20 people and interviewed them for short two-minute videos that we're sort of live editing on the spot and putting up online and on display as well. So we're interviewing them about some of the topics that were raised in the course that we conducted. So we sort of had these five provocations around issues that memory institutions face locally and more broadly internationally. So things like, you know, does digitization improve access for Indigenous communities? And what are the challenges with this at all levels? Does VR and AR and, you know, mixed reality, are these, you know, hot new things? Are they here to stay? And what kinds of affordances do they allow for audiences and viewers? And, you know, how do public libraries engage their communities or art archives? So sort of all levels is, what we've been doing. So we've been asking people about these questions, and they give us great responses. I think in terms of scale, the scale of the project. So, for example, we've had people who are in charge of, you know, large, you know, multi-institution institutions, like, for example, the Tate Galleries, right, which have, I think, four or five physical buildings. And that just doesn't compare necessarily to the kinds of projects that are underway in Vancouver. Not to say quality is different, but just, like, the scale of the kinds of digital initiatives they're working on and the amount of things that are happening. But I think the local institutions, at least here, that we've spoken to, and even just more broadly in Canada as well, particularly smaller institutions, are dealing with the same intellectual or philosophical questions as the larger institutions, but have less, you know, staff or time necessarily to dedicate projects to, although there's some really great examples of things they're working on. This is our first time doing this, so I think for now they live on the internet with, you know, full consent from all the participants, and I think we see this as part of maybe a larger resource or learning tool, so hopefully they're easily shareable right now under a Creative Commons license. So if you find the link, we'll post it on the MWX website, which is mwx2018.org. But aside from that, I'm not sure. I hope we can use them in our course content as we roll out future courses in digital museums in the Lower Mainland, but also sort of more broadly than that, so I don't know. You tell me, too.
So it sounds like a cool project, right? Like, it's a really innovative piece of BC-based digital museum practice right there at the conference.
Yeah, it's great. I love the point that she makes about scalability, right? So, you know, this thing about these huge institutions, international institutions who have big resources and big budgets and are really diving deep into innovation and technology. And I think there's a real opportunity with conferences like this and with the BC colleagues who are able to attend this conference to learn about what they're doing, what's working, what's not working. And I think that, you know, technology is something that we all need to figure out how to make it work for us. And so using these international examples and figuring out how to scale them up or scale them down and make them work for BC museums, I think is so interesting. For example, does digitization improve access for Indigenous communities? That's a question for every single museum in the province, and whether you're big or small. And so if there's a way for us to learn about the answers to those questions and how to make those approaches in the best possible way, then it's so valuable.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that she brought up a great point about the difference in scale between those attending and those here. It is very much a specialist conference, so you get a lot of those big ones with the big budgets. But she's right. We have just as good of quality of digital work being done here in BC and just in general in museums here in BC. At a smaller scale, yes, but it was really borne out in that MWX experience because I was seeing dozens of people from those, you know, like the Tate Gallery that she's talking about or the Smithsonian or wherever they came from. I thought it was great seeing all those people so interested and still so captivated by BC's work, even if it's done by a small team or a small budget, it's just as important in their eyes.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. Our colleagues across the province, everyone is doing amazing work. There's so much that we can learn from each other. And I just want to give a little plug for the BC Museums Association conference. So our theme for this year is innovation and technology and keeping pace with acceleration. And we're going to be hosting the conference in Kelowna this year, which we're really excited about, October 21st to 23rd. And I think it's just fantastic that there were so many people from British Columbia able to attend museums on the web, because I think that we'll see a lot of that content showing up in a way that's where we've got those examples of people that have taken that international context that they've learned at that conference and can distill it down and make it real for our museums here in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm, totally. Now, as I said, this was a big international conference, but I've hardly talked about those international attendees yet or what they came to talk about. There were a lot of big name museums presenting and attending this conference, and all their projects were totally amazing and inspiring, of course. But one that really stood out to me for how I think it could impact the sector really in BC or around the world was the National Museum of Scotland. And so I asked the museum's Robert Costin to explain it to me.
Okay, so I am Robert Costin. I am the head of digital media at National Museum Scotland, which is based in Edinburgh. At Museums on the Web, I was presenting on a small project that we did around contactless donations. So we ran three trials of contactless payment systems, bringing them into the museum and seeing if we could convert lots of our free visitors into donating to the museum. So contactless payment technology is around in the UK, like everyone goes to coffee shops, they pay with their contactless enabled credit or debit card. That's just a thing that people do. So we kind of saw that was happening outside the museum sector and thought, actually, how do we bring that technology into the museum sector? People like dropping coins in buckets, right? That's a traditional museum thing. But could we make that process simpler or easier? If people don't carry cash and we see lots of tourists coming into us, we have 2 million visitors a year, half of those are tourists, lots of those people aren't carrying cash. So we wanted people to be able to donate whatever they were carrying in their wallet. We've only kind of started this trial process, but we are seeing people with the really busy points in our entranceway coming in and actually looking to donate as they come in. So we're kind of seeing people changing behavior. We also placed one of these units in a exhibition which geared up towards fundraising. We're trying to save this amazing treasure trove of Viking Age treasure. And that little box raised about £2,500 in 5 weeks, which vastly outperformed the online donations that we were seeing, as well as text to donate functions. They want to feel like they're beeping and tapping and their money's kind of gone straight away. A tap is our general coin boxes are set at £3. So £3 is what we set it out, but we've got a little system where we can update the amount, and we actually want to do more trials and see actually whether people want to spend more money than that. Well, we tried to do something a little bit different with contactless. We tried to actually work out what would be the best donation experience. So we took the little standalone boxes, which from a company called Payter, and we kind of made a very visual experience around this. So we linked up the little box to a big screen, and we placed this outside one of our free exhibitions. We knew this exhibition would be incredibly popular. It's on ancient Egypt. There's about 100,000 people coming through the doors. So we filmed the curators of that exhibition kind of waving to people on this big screen, beckoning them over to attract them over. And we said, please donate. This is a free exhibition. We need your help to keep doing things like this. And when people donated, they got a little thank you. And then the curator revealed their favorite objects from that exhibition people were about to see. So we built a little CMS to make this happen, linking up the content with the little device. So when someone donated, it revealed the new content and gave them that thank you message. And we want to share that what the work we've been doing, this is why I'm here, to kind of talk about the project. But we've had loads and loads of museums in the UK, as well as Canada and Australia and New Zealand, places where contactless is like a thing and people are using contactless, asking us just what did you do and what have you learned from this process. So we're trying to share as widely as possible what we've done.
There's a lot of potential here, I think, for museums around the world to adopt, especially here in BC. We don't have any museums as big as the National Museum of Scotland, but we do have a lot of museums that either provide free entry or entry by donation. And I think it's fair to say that every museum in our community, probably every museum in the world, has at least one donation box somewhere in their building. And the tech that Robert is talking about could be a really valuable addition to our donation collections. The National Museum of Scotland won a Glammy Award at the conference for the innovative project because it combined the tap payments, the tech, with a multimedia campaign that encouraged donations with bonus content from curators. So it was both donations and tech, but also engagement. And so I asked Robert if the ideas could fit in a smaller sector or for smaller museums like here in BC.
Definitely. I mean, if you've got coin boxes, you should start thinking about, actually, we need to provide people with the means to pay. If they don't have cash with them, you should still be able to donate really quickly. It should be as simple as dropping a coin in a box. And the standalone terminals aren't that expensive. The market's changing. We're seeing companies coming on board having like just screens with the donation boxes, kind of off-the-shelf packages now. So when we started this project 18 months ago, that wasn't the case, but there's the market's changing a lot in the last 18 months. It's not expensive. The boxes don't need internet connection. They kind of run off 2G or 3G connections. So once you're set up, which can take a bit of time, it's quite easy to roll these out. But what we've seen actually at the National Museum of Scotland is it's not worth buying 20 of the boxes, because we know that actually 3 or 4 of our coin boxes bring in around 50% of our coin donations. So it's all about positioning these things where you know they're going to get the most value. We were really pleased to, and kind of shocked to be awarded a Glammy this year. We didn't expect that at all. It's a really small project. We were up against much bigger museums with much bigger budgets. But it's great for our team because it's one of those projects that we're trying to carve out a bit of space to do something a bit different. And it's just great to go back and say, you know, this for the sector is something really valuable, and we love kind of sharing what we're doing, especially with smaller museums in Scotland, because we've got a kind of national remit to kind of share what we do, share best practice with all those smaller museums as well.
So I think it was really interesting to hear Robert talk about it, hear that there's a lot of interest in some of these smaller countries especially. It's the technology that we use every day. It can be brought into the museum, but it still needs to be brought in properly, like we do with anything that we do in a museum. I thought that was a really neat thing, and I thought it was a really good potential project for BC as well.
Yeah, I love what he's... I love the two points that he made that really resonated with me were, you know, how do we create the best donation experience possible for people and create, make that meaningful for them? And this thing about, you know, where things have changed in our society, and it should be as easy as dropping a coin in the box to make a donation. If you don't have cash, what do you do then? And so, like, let's not leave that money on the table. Let's figure out a way to implement this relatively straightforward technology and take advantage of it.
Yeah, and so we'll put a link to Robert and the National Museum of Scotland's project on our website, and I'm sure that they would be fine if you take a look and maybe get in contact with them if you're interested in it. So that's about all the time that we have for this episode. There was a lot of stuff, especially that I got at Museums on the Web, and we might throw some content out later in a little mini bonus episode. But I want to thank you, Erica, for joining us, the first time that you've been on the podcast, definitely not the last, I'm sure, and for sharing with us the CMA experience especially.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ben. I just wanted to add two big congratulations to Margaret Trimka from the Kamloops Art Gallery, who is now on the Canadian Museums Association board. So we're really excited to have that voice for BC Museums at the national table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, congratulations to Margaret. A special thanks also to Nancy Proctor, Rich Cherry, Hiroko Kusano, and Titus Bricknell, who hosted me at the Museums on the Web conference. A big thanks also to John Hughes and the crew at Craig Derrick Castle here in Victoria, BC, where we have been recording. I don't know if you've heard a clock go off in the background or not, but thank you very much to John and the castle. We've enjoyed visiting your little library here right in the exhibit space, and we're going to get out before all the public shows up. Now, we are going to put on some information onto our website about some of the projects we've talked about and some of the conferences we've talked about, including our own BC Museums Association conference. You can check out our website at museumsassn.bc.ca, or you can check out our website at bit.ly/BCMA podcast. That'll take you straight there. We hope you also join us on social media, find our BC Museums Association accounts, or use the hashtag BC Museums to join conversations about what you've heard on this podcast. The BC Museums Association receives operational support from the BC Arts Council. We also greatly acknowledge the support of the Royal BC Museum in providing a home for the BCMA Secretariat. The BCMA Secretariat is located on the traditional lands of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations. Thanks for joining us.